doesn't take a global pandemic for people to work from home, but the coronavirus sure has increased the circle to include so many more of us. Whether you're juggling little kids while trying to get that paper written, isolated and lacking the inspiration you usually get from daily encounters, or just happy you're finally not stuck in traffic, welcome to Even Remotely Effective, a podcast bringing you practical tips from people like you for overcoming the challenges of working from home so you can become even remotely more effective in your pursuits. I'm Daphna Gold Melchior, wishing us all to soon be able to resume choosing how much remote and how much in-person work we'd prefer. And meanwhile, let's master remoteliness. Managers, this one's for you. How can you take the emotional temperature of your team in these trying times? How can you model psychological safety and make room for the expression of differences of opinion and conflict? What can you learn from the Japanese art of kintsugi, and why might this be precisely the time to call up your competition and suggest to collaborate? My special friend, Message Expert's colleague, and relay running teammate Kylie Eisman-Lifschitz is a management consultant and organizational development specialist to CEOs and management teams from around the world. Kylie coaches managers and trains management teams in leadership, effective feedback, innovation and change management, and designs and facilitates events that help organizations achieve their goals. She's also recently published an article on crisis management in the Jerusalem Post. Let's hear Kylie's advice to managers who want their teams and companies to emerge from the corona crisis stronger than ever. Hi, Kylie. How are you?
Good. How are you, Daphna?
I'm good. Super happy to be speaking to you. I wish that it was out on a run, which is my favorite place to meet you. And I hope that we can get back to our joint to our joint running out in beautiful places.
I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying these virtual meetings instead.
You are enjoying them?
I am. I'm lazy at heart. What can I say?
You are not. You're way too effective to be lazy. So I was thinking that it could be really cool to interview you specifically as an organizational consultant and a development specialist, because I'm guessing that you have some really valuable insights for people who, like you and me, usually work face-to-face, go into companies, work with people, and suddenly they're finding themselves having to work remotely. So I would love your insights on what you think people can do to work effectively from home at this time. And then I'd also love to hear, since I know that you're a strategic thinker, what you're suggesting to people going forward and thinking about after this crisis is all over. So let's start first of all with what's going on now. What would you recommend to people that are suddenly finding themselves having to work remotely, even though that isn't their first choice?
So let me begin by saying a lot of my work, actually, I've been doing remotely for a while because I have clients who are overseas. So I've had the experience of running trainings and coaching people online for a while. And so I've had time to get familiar with the technology, which is great. But I'm speaking and working with a lot of clients who I also have used to be meeting me face-to-face. And I think it's a very different scenario what we're talking about here, not just a few individuals working remotely, but rather entire companies working remotely. And that is a very, very different challenge. So here's what I'm hearing from people. First of all, people feel very disconnected. They're disconnected, so to speak, from the mothership. They don't really know what's going on. There's a great deal of isolation. And I don't just mean personal isolation, I mean professionally. If you think about why people go into offices in the first place, it's usually because there's some kind of chemistry that happens when people are able to interact freely, and when they're able to do work in a group, they're much more effective than when they're working alone, which is the whole purpose of organizations, in a sense. What we have here, though, is a situation where people are being disbanded, sent home. The first effect of that is disconnection. What most organizations are doing is switching to remote platforms, working virtually through Zoom or Microsoft Meetings, all of these different platforms. And what you have is people being then overloaded with virtual meetings. And then some of them don't have the technology set up. They have kids in the background. They have noise. They have conflicting demands on their attention. What we do find, though, is that there's a few important tips that you can take into account when you're the manager trying to set this up. First of all, recognize that this is not business as usual. If you are going to set up these meetings, make sure that everyone understands how things are going to be set up and how things are going to be run, and get people's input on it. it's all very well to say, well, I'm inviting you all to a Zoom at 9 o'clock, when that's going to be impossible for somebody who has to put their three children on different remote learning platforms all at the same time. You're going to have people who have other conflicting responsibilities, possibly other clients or communications they have to be part of. Getting people's input is critical. When is it going to work? We need to have a regular meeting. What does it look like? Which platform are we going to use? Is it easier to do it over WhatsApp? Where's your best web reception, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure people get set up and that there's clear guidelines as to when people are going to be touching base, that people understand, okay, I still have a sense of belonging to my organization and I'm still going to be seeing people's faces and I'm going to be interacting with them. Once you get people online, make sure that you take the time to go around and ask how people are doing. It's invaluable, just that touch base. How's everyone going? Where are you up to? What's going on for you? For some people, it's relatively relaxed. They have older kids or they're on their own. For other people, it's a very intense period. That's number one, taking the emotional temperature of the room. Then when you go on and you continue to work with the people in the whatever work product you're dealing with, clearly most people, the circumstances are not going to be the same and people are going to be anxious about financial stability, about meeting their deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. One of the first things you can do also is to recognize the fact that things are not going to be the same, that you recognize that these are unusual circumstances, that you recognize that deadlines and possibly goals are going to have to be reassessed. Make space for that to help people relax a little bit and understand that there is an understanding from the organizational perspective that there is room for adjustment. And the third thing that you need to do is to recognize the importance of what happens in that space. People might not feel as comfortable sharing information over technological platforms. One of all the studies that have been done on effective communication in teams show that one of the most important factors is psychological safety. So when people speak up or disagree, how is disagreement handled? Is there space made for conflict? And how is that handled in organizational context? And as a manager, you can model that, allow for a little bit of disagreement, show that conflict is fine with you and that you're okay with people disagreeing on different avenues. And especially when you're talking about forecasting for the next few months, I imagine there's a lot of disagreement and a lot of anxiety there as well. Allowing space for that is going to be critical. Last of all, I would point out that there's a very important social function that needs to be served by these meetings. Whereas once upon a time, people would have what they call the water cooler conversations. And those things are so important to communication and sense of belonging in the workplace and organizational commitment and productivity, you're going to have to think of creative ways to allow your employees to connect in a social way. You could make a pizza hour. Everyone grab a piece of pizza or wine together and sit down and schedule just for people to chat and socialize, etc. Every single client I have spoken to who has had a all-hand staff meeting has said, it was amazing, it was amazing, it was amazing. And I think what they're reflecting is this sense that people feel so disconnected and isolated, and they're so happy to be reconnected with their organization, not just with the people as individuals, but with a sense of purpose. And purpose is what helps us get through the day. I mean, I know that was quite in depth.
That was great. A great bunch of tips for managers. That was excellent. All right. So the managers also need to be strategic, right? And you're all about the thinking ahead. And in a recent article that you published in the Jerusalem Post, you talked about the importance of thinking 10 steps ahead. Maybe some helpful tips to managers on how they can take this crisis and manage it in a way that can hopefully result for them and their company in post-traumatic growth. You even started with a really beautiful metaphor. What's the business with the Japanese art metaphor? What's kintsugi?
Well, kintsugi is a Japanese art form where they take broken pottery. So if you have a beautiful ceramic bowl and it's been broken, it will be taken to someone who this is their expertise, and they will repair the bowl, not just so you won't see the cracks, but actually emphasizing the cracks by putting gold dust into the lacquer. And it results with some really, really stunning artworks, which are even more valuable than the original ceramic bowl. That's really a metaphor for the concept concept that things might get broken now, but you can repair them in ways so they'll be even stronger when we come out of this. And I know it sounds far-fetched. People now are just hunkering down and trying to get through the crisis. For many people, it's a matter of life and death. And for some people, it's a matter of being able to make the end of the month. So I don't want to diminish by any means the severity of the crisis for many people. But the world of crisis management, the whole concept of crisis management exists for a reason. People have been managing companies for hundreds of years, and crises have been happening for hundreds of years. At the moment, it's hard to imagine something of this scale, but not long ago, there were tsunamis of terrible destruction. There were nuclear meltdowns. There were earthquakes. The scale of destruction in those instances was beyond, in magnitude, anything that we're experiencing now. On a smaller scale, companies have gone through crises related specifically to themselves or their industry, where they've had some kind of terrible malfunction in one of their products and they've had to do massive recalls, or where there's been massive disruption to their industries and organizations have really been in crisis. I mean, we don't have to, in Israel, look very far for examples of that. Many people are recalling the Gulf War, when people spent many weeks in bunkers and businesses weren't able to function properly, etc., etc. So in Israel specifically, we're no strangers to crisis. What I would like managers to be able to take away from this concept is that they're not alone, that this is something that's happened before and most likely will happen again, and that we can take away insight from the experiences of others. When we're able to take a step back and say, okay, this is a crisis, it feels uniquely disastrous to all of us at this point in time, but this too will pass. Taking a step back and looking at what's going on, what can I do to think strategically about the long term?
Is that ability to think strategically about the future of a company, is it specific to each company, or are there some things that all managers, agnostic of field and discipline, can actually do and think about in order to prepare?
So I think that the things that I would advise people to do are a few. So first of all, I would say that all managers, first of all, need to ensure that they have a short-term financial plan. In other words, short-term financial stability. If there are people they need to put onto temporary unemployment, they should be doing that now. And most companies have already done that. And so that they know that for the next 6 to 9 months, they're not going to be closing down, essentially. In places where they literally cannot legally operate, like hotels and most businesses have had to actually close their doors, this is not a situation where they're going to be able to think of alternative ways and just magically solve themselves of this crisis. But I do think that many, many businesses are functioning still, are still trying to achieve their goals, have employees working remotely. They're in the twilight zone. They're in the interim, where they're able to still function, but they're not quite able to forecast accurately for achieving their goals. But what I would say is, even for the people who have had to close their doors, first of all, you have resources, whether it is real estate or kitchens or staff, whatever resources still remain in your hand, you should be thinking creatively about how you want to use them. When all the smoke clears, there will be some organizations that really are winners. For example, organizations that didn't just think of themselves, but thought of the community around them. So use the resources they had to cook meals for people in need, or offered their facilities for stockpiling emergency goods, or use their import connections to try and obtain necessary equipment for the government. There are so many ways, connections and resources that people have, and currently all they're thinking about is, and they're not to be blamed, but currently they're all just thinking about making it through. And what happens when we're under stress is we narrow our focus a great deal, and we don't really look sideways or think as creatively, and that's evolution. We're meant to just be thinking about how do we escape the bear, and all our other systems shut down. But when we're in stressful situations, we are often not at our best at thinking strategically. The ones who manage to step back and say, okay, now I have this time at home, so I'm in lockdown, I've never had time to really think about my strategic plan, or I really always wanted time to rework our website, but I never had time. And you can do those things now. You can rework your website. You've got all the time in the world. You now have time to sit down with your employees and do more intense one-on-ones about how their work is going and what they would like to change when they get back to it? And where do they see opportunity? You have a lot more time to sit down and think about strategic partnerships with other organizations that previously you never had the time to. And sometimes what you see in times of crisis is barriers collapse. You can pick up the phone to your competitor and say, how can we work together in this crisis? Whereas before, that was something that was taboo. Looking for strategic partnerships with clients, with competitors, with other organizations that work in your field, all of these things are going to be critical. If you can work together with them now, more than likely you'll be able to continue those partnerships afterwards. Using resources in clever ways for communal good is going to look good for your company later. The other one I would point out is creating more modular ways of working. So often what happens when you have large companies, you have a centralization of operations. So nothing can really be decided. It's kind of a top-down communication chain. But when everyone's working remotely, it might make more sense. And when perhaps people are of health risk, it makes more sense to work in a modular fashion. So you can take the time to restructure your operations to work in a modular fashion so that people are able to work and get things done much more effectively without having to report to the mothership.
So what a great combination of short-term and longer-term recommendations for managers. And I want to wish you and all of the managers and everybody's families health and wellness, and that we get through this crisis as best as possible, and that we manage to create and promote post-traumatic growth later on. And thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. And thank you so much for the opportunity.
I hope you found this even remotely helpful. If you're seeking consultation on effective messaging and presentations remotely and hopefully soon in person again, reach out on LinkedIn. I'm Daphna Gold Melchior. That's Daphna, D-A-F-N-A, Gold, G-O-L-D, Melchior, M-E-L-C-H-I-O-R. Here's to the health and wellness of you and your loved ones.